are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
All right, we... Come on, brother.
Lord, you know that I'm your child.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
music stirs the soul. Amen. Jesus, I need you to hold my hand. I need him to hold my hand. I do. I really do. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, music team. We're praying now as we ready our hearts for the word. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege that we have again to be in the house of the prayer. We thank you for the worship opportunity that has preceded. We thank you for this present moment, this moment to ride and walk into your word. And we pray that you would again lift your human out of self and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us. Bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, we ask it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. We're looking this morning at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We'll look at the first four verses. Actually, it's 12 verses here, 1 through 12, but we're going to divide it up between this week and next week. We're going to look at the first four verses today, and next week we'll look at verses 7, should I say 5 through 12. And we want to talk about the whole notion of spiritual blindness, but today I'll give you just a small portion of it. So, first four verses, here we go. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him, meaning Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it would be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to talk about blind to godly things. Blind to godly things. The gift of sight is an awesome privilege that we have. Out of all of the blessings that I think that I have been given, I value sight. I really do. I like to see. I like to travel. I like to go. And I have witness some beautiful things in this world. I have been a student in school in London, England, and as such, I got a chance to visit the many palaces that were there. I've eyeballed the crown jewels. I've seen the crowns that they put on kings' heads. And I've seen the diamonds and the sparkle that comes from queens' crowns. I've been in the jungles of Africa, and I've seen nature at its best. I've seen beautiful waterfalls and luscious gardens of various varieties and types. I've flown on airplanes a lot of times and have seen, it seems like, another world of glory that exists above the clouds. And I've also had the privilege of dropping out of the clouds and seeing the metropolis of a major city unfold, let me mess with you. I've come out of the mountains and fell into the beautiful city of Las Vegas. It's amazing. You could be flying and you see nothing but mountains, and then all of a sudden, there it is. Or to fly into oceanfront towns like San Francisco, and it looked like you're going right in the water. But that all comes from the gift of sight. And I value and appreciate God blessing me with sight. But guess what I know? I've grown up to be a few days older. And I can still see, I can still read. But when I read the small print in scriptures, I thank God for glasses. Because without glasses, this is a maze of words. And I can't always distinguish what they are until I put on me glasses. Then when I put on my glasses, then voila, there it is. How would you like to live in this world where you cannot see godly things? I want to tell you an interesting thing about sight physically in the world, that we spend billions of dollars on eye care every year. Every year. Now, if you notice, in most insurance packages now, they not only include the medical, but they include the dental and the vision. Because millions of dollars, billions of dollars are spent on eye care. And you know what they have told us? They have told us that 7% of the entire population are legally blind. But when it comes to spiritual truth, that statistic is 100%. 100% of us are spiritually blind. We can't see. Now, but we fall into two categories, and that's where the good news is. The two categories that people who are spiritually blind, that includes all of us, that includes me, that includes you. The difference in those who will be able to see spiritually and those who will never see spiritually is based upon what you do with Jesus. Those who accept Jesus will be helped to be able to see. Will have spiritual glasses so that you can discern spiritual truth. But those who will reject Jesus will be permanently blind. And I want to talk about those this morning who are permanently blind. Those who cannot see. Those who are blind to godly things. And I want to tell you why they are blind to godly things. And it really comes down to really three major influences that causes us to be spiritually blind or blind to godly things. The first factor is sin. See, sin is not something we do. It manifests in some things that we do, but sin is not just as simple as you do this or you don't do this. No, sin is intricately woven into the fabric of who we are. And try as we may, we still cannot help ourselves. We will still mess up. We can vow, we can swear, we can snot, we can stomp, we can declare what we ain't gonna do, and we'll end up doing it again. Because sin is ultimately interwoven into us. And if we get comfortable there in that space and enjoy it, we will remain blind. The second factor that contributes to our spiritual blindness is Satan himself. The Bible says of Satan that he is the god, little G-O-D-S, of this world. And he has blinded the eyes and the minds of people so that we cannot even discern. Our minds have been clouded. Our minds have been influenced with satanic thought and satanic influence. And it causes us to miss what could be available. And the third contributing factor to our spiritual blindness and abilities not to be able to discern godly things is divine judgment, where God gets into the picture and God removes himself, or God puts his hand over the eyes so that you cannot see or you cannot discern. And that is far worse. And what I want to help you understand is, this morning I want to introduce you to some people who are in the first category of spiritually blind and will be permanently in that condition, largely because they rejected Jesus. And next week, if the Lord will, we'll come back and we'll look at people who can see, who have been helped to see. And that includes us, if we see it all. So the text today says to us that it opens with a strange encounter. It says the Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came. They came to Jesus. Now you gotta understand what's happening here. Jesus has been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He has been in the area that was occupied by Gentile people in an area called Decapolis. Decapolis is the word deca, which means 10 cities. And he has carried out an effective ministry of preaching and teaching over there because he has gotten tired of the rejectors, tired of the crowd, and he has taken his disciples apart to teach them things that they would need to know as he is preparing to go to the cross. He knows that his time on earth is limited, and there are some valuable things that he wants to put into the hearts and minds of his disciples before time run out. And so he has gone on a ministry over in Decapolis. One of the highlights of that ministry over there, you know, he had fed 5,000 Jews when they were in the grass over on the Jewish side. But in Decapolis, he fed 4,000 over that side. Count men, not count the women and children. So between the two crowds, Jesus probably has fed more than 50,000 people. But now he comes back across into Jewish territory. And as soon as his boat lands in Jewish territory, here come these groups of religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And listen, they both have been blinded by Satan. They both are full of hatred toward Jesus. They want to eliminate him, so their eyes are blinded, and they will remain permanently blinded, and they'll remain permanently blinded because they have teamed up with each other. Let me tell you something. You have to be careful who you team up with. You have to be careful who you allow to be your influencing partner. But you know what? Sometimes people don't even care, especially when they're up to no good. And when they're up to no good, no good people, getting with another no good person is up to no good for somebody. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees both were enemies normally. They couldn't stand each other normally, even though they were religious people. Let's talk about the difference. Come on, you'll see what I'm saying in just a minute. The Pharisees were typically, usually, more of the poorer people. The Sadducees were usually the rich and the upper class in the communities. The Pharisees had the jobs of teaching the people the word of God. They held on to the traditions of the elders. The Sadducees didn't believe in the traditions of the elders. The Pharisees believed in things like resurrections and angels and afterlife. The Sadducees didn't believe none of that. And now these two opposite groups of people are coming together because they both didn't like Jesus. And when you got two kinds of people that don't like one, they can get together and they can do some dirt. I see that all over this nation. I see that in the halls of Congress. I see it. You got Republicans that can't stand Republicans. But they'll get together to do some dirt against another group. You got Republicans and Democrats that generally don't get together, but they'll make a deal in a side room somewhere to get together to pass a law that they know are designed to hurt poor people or innocent people. You see it in the community. You see Lil Willie and you see Pookie, and sometimes they'll get together to do Ricky in. Or you'll see Nene and Quisha. They don't like each other, but they'll get together to plot on Annie. So it happens. And what I'm telling you is when people like that get together, they are going to remain blind because they're blinded by their sin. They're blinded by Satan. And they don't care about trying to find the truth or the rightness of a situation. And when people are like that, they're going to stay blind. They're going to stay where they can't see. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, both religious groups, are among blinded people. But these are different than you and I. The difference between you and I is we will love Jesus. We will accept Jesus. They push back against Jesus. They were trying to seek to get rid of him. And whenever that combination occurs, it's going to be a mess. Can I tell you that all people really and truly have some problems with being blind? Let me read a couple passages here just for you right quick over here. First one over here in John chapter 1. Put my wonderful gift of sight on called glasses. And listen to what this passage, the scripture said. And in him, starting in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, did not understand it. Okay, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, meaning Jesus, and the world was made by him, meaning Jesus, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Do you know why? Because their deeds were dark, and they loved the darkness more than the light. And when people love darkness more than they love light, they're going to remain in the dark. And darkness is another word for saying blind. If you can't see in the dark, it's the same thing as you can't see. You blind. So men are blind, but the difference is some people will stay blind because they will reject the light. And these two groups rejected the light. Be careful who you hook up with. Be careful who you allow in your space. But you know, that mom, you said like the birds of a feather flock together. So you got to be careful who you allow in your life. You can't, darkness and light are not going to work together. You're going to get in a relationship, get another brother or sister that has some light in them. Don't just get another person who's in darkness and think that you're going to turn them on. You'll turn them on, all right, but you ain't going to turn them out. End up turning you out, turning your light out. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to Jesus attacking him when he got off the boat. And they said, that's what the scripture said. They came to him testing him, challenging him. And they came for one purpose. And that was not because they wanted to be enlightened or informed about who he was. They came actually, and this is the second point, to curse the light. This is why people stay blind. They stay blind when they hook up with blind people. Because the blind leads the blind. And when blind people lead blind people, they both fall in the ditches. And they can't get out. So that's first. The second thing is they teamed up and they come to Jesus not to receive inspiration and revelation from him, but they came to curse him. They came to try to embarrass him. They came to put him on the spot. They came up to him and they said, okay, if you say you who you say you are, then they knew who he was. But they say, show us a sign in the heavens. Show up in the sky. Do something miraculous up here so that we can see. Wow us. Thrill us. Turn us on. You know, others have done it before. Elijah, the great prophet, prayed to God one time, and God withheld the rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years. Do something like that. Now, their whole purpose wasn't to see if Jesus had ability. Their purpose was to try to embarrass Jesus in front of the people. Because they wanted to say, if he said, I can't do it, or if he attempted to do it and he didn't do it, then they were going to say, aha, we told you he was a phony. We told you he was an imposter. We told you he wasn't who he said he was. And people are so quick to do that. They really are. They are a mess. I said this morning in a different context, but I want to say it to you, that just if you don't think this stuff is real, you look at just what recently happened. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican Speaker of the House, recently gave to Tucker Carlson of Fox News 44,000 minutes of what happened on January 6th in the riot. We all saw what happened. But the intent was to try to create a different narrative for the American people to believe, to say that you didn't see a riot. What you saw was peaceful protesters. So he took out 10 minutes of clip to see some people walking through the Capitol that wasn't breaking out windows to say, see, these people were peaceful protesters. But see, he's just showing just this part. He didn't show what happened before. He didn't show what happened after. He didn't show what was happening all around. And everybody saw through it. That's exactly what these guys were trying to do. They were trying to show Jesus to be a phony. And everybody saw through it. Comes to Jesus to curse him. To say, nah, you're not who you say you are. What you say you can do, you can't do. And we're here to prove it. Show us a sign. Jesus was smart. It's amazing to me how they are asking him for a sign. And he was the sign. He was the sign from beginning. Listen, this is what the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah said 800 years before Jesus was born, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And this will be a sign unto you. This is what the angel told those shepherd boys about Jesus. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He was the sign. He opened eyes. He unstopped ears. He created limbs. He created food. He did stuff that nobody else can do. He was the sign. Some of them recognized it. Even other Pharisees like Nicodemus. When Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus at night, he said, Rabbi, Master, we know you are a real teacher from God. Because no one can do these signs, these miracles that you do, except God be with him. When John the Baptist was taken in prison, and John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus, and he wanted to know, are you the one, or do we look for another? Jesus told John's disciples, you go back and tell John, the lame walk, the dumb talk, the blind see, the dead are raised. These are the signs. So what you need? Do you need me to do something in the sky? They wasn't going to believe it, no way. When people are bent and bound on not believing the truth, it doesn't matter what you do. And so those are the people that will remain permanently blind. Can I tell you, there are people who are blind in church. There are people who are blind in religion. Man, I remember going to China, man. Went to Shanghai, China. And we went to the Jade Buddha Temple. You're talking about blindness? There were people that they had these great big altars and people were burning money. They were sacrificing to their dead ancestors as if their dead ancestors would be able to spend money in the other world that they had gone to. You're talking about blindness. You're talking about people in darkness. Man, we were in India, man. We went in one of those mosques, went in those one of those Hindu temples, and they were painting people. They just had it on the news, just had this big celebration. And I had to get my boy. I said, man, don't eat that. Because they were coloring the rice and all of that, and they were trying to give it to us. I said, don't you eat that. I said, man, that's darkness. That's blindness. And one of the guys, the tour guys that were talking to us, said, man, he said, I became a Christian because my parents were Hindu monks. And my mother and my father. And he said, and I saw what Satan did when he overcame my mother one night. How he left her in a state of a mess that she couldn't speak. She was frozen. And we had to take her to the hospital to get her treated. Blindness, darkness is everywhere. And when people reject the light, and when people curse the light, they're going to remain in the dark. And unfortunately, there are people who will remain unable to discern godly things. I mean, you got friends. You can tell them the sky is blue, and they're going to say, uh-uh, the sky not blue. You can tell them, don't do that, and they're going to say, oh, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just because you said don't do it. And consequently, they will remain in their darkness. And so these men come to Jesus, show us a sign. Jesus was smart, man. He looked at these guys. He gave them a great answer. He said, look at you. He said, you can see stuff you ought not see. You can look at the sky at night and you can see that the sky is red and you can say, oh, tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day because the sky is red tonight. And you can wake up in the morning and you can see the sky is red during the day and you can say, oh, we're going to have bad weather because the sky is red in the morning. He said, you good backyard weathermen, You are cheap, phony weathermen. You can see the signs of the sky, but you can't read the movement of God. Now, I don't know what you'd rather read, because there are a lot of folk who got a lot of information. They can tell you a lot of things. You got a lot of smart people, and they can tell you the stock market is going to go up, the stock market is going to go down. They can tell you invest in cryptocurrency. They can tell you don't invest in cryptocurrency. They can tell you the interest rates are going up. They can tell you the educational trends in the country. They can tell you the statistics, the crime statistics. They can tell you what the Republicans going to do, what the Democrats going to do. They can tell you who's going to win the March Madness tournament. They can tell you who's going to be the number one draft choice. They got all of the information, but they can't read the heart of God. And that's darkness. And that's the most important information that is needed today. You know, we can figure out how many people are poor. And we can figure out how many people are hungry. But we can't pass a law that's designed to help nobody. We can count the statistics on the number of murders and drive-bys and gun violence and all of those kinds of things, but we can't see the heart of God in that. And the sad truth is there will be people that will remain spiritually blind, unable to see godly things. And that happens when you partner up with ungodly folk. And when you partner up with people who are coming to Jesus to curse him, trying to embarrass him rather than trying to learn from him. And that takes us to a third step. Not only when people partner up, Pharisees and Sadducees, for no good purpose, and they come together to curse Jesus, you know what happened? They go deeper and deeper into darkness. There's nowhere else to go when you walk away from the light. It's the only thing to do is to go deeper and deeper into darkness. And they did just that. And the text implies that you know, Jesus has been there. He's been around for 3 years. He's been preaching. He's been teaching. He's been demonstrating that he's the Son of God. And they have refused, they have denied who he was, they have accused him of having a demon, they have accused him of the miracles that he is doing by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. Even his own brothers, before he was raised from the dead, were saying he was crazy. People in the community thought he was out of his mind. And sometimes people will feel like that about you when you're trying to do right things. But they went deeper and deeper in the darkness because there was nowhere else for them to go. How deep did they go? They decided later on, man, they couldn't stand it. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and some of the people that had been at Lazarus' funeral began to go through the communities and said, man, you should have been there. Boy, we was at Lazarus' funeral. We saw him buried. We saw that he was put away for 4 days. And then Jesus showed up in town. And Jesus told us, man, to move the stone and let him go. And when Lazarus came out of that grave, we saw it. And all of us ran. But today, Lazarus is alive. Boy, the Pharisees, the Sadducees got together again. They said, we can't stand it. He's got to go. So they decided we're going to pull the lie together, the big lie. Come on, listen to me now. We're going to get some false people to tell a lie. We're going to get them to come on trial and to make up information about him. We're going to get the Romans to crucify him. We're going to do everything we can. He's got to go. Look at what they're doing. They're going deeper and deeper into darkness. And even after they crucified Jesus and the grave couldn't hold him, then they paid the Roman soldiers to say that his disciples came and stole his body at night. They went deeper than that. Even when the early church started and Peter, James, and John began to preach the gospel, they started arresting them and putting them in jail and threatening them with their life. What were they doing? They were going deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. And that's what happened when people walk away from the light and they turn toward the darkness. The only place to go in the darkness is deeper and deeper and deeper in the darkness. And it comes from these reasons. He partnered up with wrong folk. People they could not even stand, but for a common purpose of rejecting Jesus. Then when they got together, they decided rather than learning from the light, they cursed the light. Tried to put him on the spot. And the only place it would go is deeper and deeper in darkness. But that carries us to a fourth step. And the fourth step is to be abandoned by God. Look at what the text says. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. I ain't making it up. It says it right there. It says, Jesus said, y'all want a sign from me? He said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. And you know what that sign is? The sign of resurrection. See, Jonah was an Old Testament prophet who the Lord gave a preaching assignment to, told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against his enemies, the Assyrians, and Jonah didn't want to do it. And instead of doing what God said do, he got on a boat to go in a different direction to Joppa. And when he got on that boat and went out there, God tweeted a memo. Text the four winds, say, there's a little boat coming out of the harbor of Joppa. I want you to arrest it and make him look like a drunk man in Birmingham on 4th Avenue on Saturday night. And I want you to hold that ship up because I got a renegade prophet on board. And I need him to understand that he can run, but he can't hide. And Jonah eventually was thrown overboard. And Jonah lay in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights until he cried out unto the Lord. And then the Lord moved on the fish hard, and the fish had to regurgitate, vomit him, throw him up. And Jesus said, the only sign that this adulterous generation is going to get is the sign of Jonah. That is, you can do the worst that you want to do to me. You can crucify me. You can put me on a cross. But with every Friday crucifixion will come a Sunday morning resurrection. You can knock me down. You can put your foot on me. But you won't be able to keep me down because there's some comeback power in me, baby. When I'm a child of God, I got comeback power. Though you slay me, yet will I trust him. There's always the ability to come back. Jesus said, you're looking for a sign in the sky. I've given you the sign. And the next sign you're going to see is when you put nails in my hand and when you pierce me in the side and when you drop me in the borrowed tomb. It's borrowed for a reason because I won't be there long. And like Jonah in the heart of the fish, I'll just be there for 3 days and three nights. Then I'll rise again. Then the fourth step occurred. The Bible said Jesus departed from them. He left them. He rejected the ones who rejected him. And he took his hands off of them. Look at the spiral. When you team up with wrong folk to oppose Jesus, you end up cursing the light. You wind up going deeper and deeper in the darkness. And then ultimately you find yourself being judged by God. You know what judgment is? See, there's going to be a day of judgment when God will call everybody out of the grave. We stand before him in the great white throne. Judgment. That's not the only judgment. The judgment of God occurs every day when God takes his hands off you. And when Jesus told those Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, okay, you boys want a sign, but you're not going to get one. And look at what the scripture said. The scripture said, he left them and departed. That was judgment because he was not coming back. They would not have another audience with him. This was the last invitation. And the invitation was now withdrawn. The nomination was now closed. His hand was being removed. God was abandoning him. And when God abandons them, when God's abandoned you, you through. See, I don't ever want the Lord to take his hand off of me. I need the Lord to keep me by his power. You know what the scripture say? Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, he said, when you're in my hand, no one can pluck you out. When you're in my hand, you are safe and secure from all alarms. When you're in my hand, you're safe, baby. But when God takes his hand off of you, then you're open to whatever may come. You're subject then to whatever challenges life may throw at you. And you become the object of God's divine judgment. And people who are permanently in a position where they are blind to godly things are people who God has taken his hands off of. The good news for everybody here today is there is still chance for you. God is still reaching out to you. He's reaching out to you in love. He's reaching out to you in mercy. He's reaching out to you in grace. And there's no finer statement to be able to say than he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I don't know how it makes you feel, but I'm glad about it this morning. I'm glad that the Lord is on my side. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? But I'm glad he's here. And I'm glad that I'm secure. I'm glad that I'm safe. Safe in his arms. And that's why I can say today, I love the Lord. I really love the Lord. And see, I can tell you that because you don't know what he's done for me. You don't know what the victories he's given me. How many times he's pulled me out. How many times he's turned me around. How many times he stood in front of me to shield me. How many times he's taken his invisible napkin and wiped tears from my eyes. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. So I love him today. I really, 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 really love the Lord. Because I have not rejected him. I've not pushed him away. But I've asked him to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that he wants me to be. And if you pray like that today, your life can change right here, right now. Don't be foolish. Don't get with the wrong group. Don't curse the light. It'll only lead you to deeper and deeper darkness. And you never want God to take his hand off you. Keep your hand on me, God. Protect me. Doors of the church open. Doors of the church open. Anytime during the singing of the song, give God your heart. Give one of these your hand. Let's begin a relationship. God loves you. God cares for you. Doors of the church open.
Does anybody here really love the Lord? love him.
Testify that today.
really love God. I really love God. I thank God, man. And we always want to be the kind of people, we don't want to be people who are blind to godly things. We don't want to just be people who just know everything but don't know anything about God. Can see situations in everybody else's life, see the situations in the world, but can't see what God is up to. Let's make sure that we got our eyes on Him. Listen, it's going to bring our service to a close. We're on time this morning. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Won't you stand on your feet, please, as we go to the close of this morning's service. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. If you can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. If you can.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ. Located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.